Well, this morning, good to be in the house of the Lord. And just bear with me for a minute. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord and good to have some of my family with us this morning. And it's always good to see each one of you because each one of you is my family also. So good to see Brother Daniel, Sister Debbie, and this morning I want to speak on a little thought about God calling. God calls. And start with Genesis chapter 3, beginning of verse 8. And it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." You know, man has never looked for God. Man has never sought for God. It's always been God looking for man. God's always sought man. And you know, John chapter 6, verse 44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him." It says, "I will raise him up at the last day." So, you know, we don't look for God. God looks for us. And, you know, when God starts to call, just like Adam, we have a real tendency to run from God. We don't, you know, because if people say, "Well, I sought God." Well, if you sought God, you'd be looking for him. But the scripture tells us, it is the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance. It's God calling us, and it's the goodness of God that calls us. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So, you know, the world's full of people that are looking, they're looking for something and they don't know what they're looking for. And many times you go speak to people and, you know, Brother Ram talked about people having a thirst, having a desire for something. They don't know what to fulfill that desire. And people bounce from one thing to the other and they're all the time trying to find something that's going to satisfy that thirst. And they don't know what will fulfill that thirst in their life. And, you know, they go from one, they think they'll find something that's going to fulfill that thirst, that desire that's inside of them. And some people will chase it with everything that they have. And when they chase it, then after a while it becomes unfulfilled. There's no joy there. There's no fulfillment in it. So they go to something different. They look for something else. And, you know, the world, they're all the time trying to find stuff. And you see people that are, you know, alcoholics, drug addicts, you know, they want to find something. They want to find the next high. They want to find the next fulfillment. And they can't find anything. And then they go to the next thing and it doesn't fulfill. And they go to the next one. And, you know, some people, they chase money and they've spent all their time trying to find this fulfillment in money. And it's like, well, you know, if I make more money than I made last year, you know, they make more money than they can spend or anybody could spend. And, you know, they're still not fulfilled. You know, they talk about Napoleon. You know, Napoleon had this great desire to conquer the world. And here he was up trying to conquer the whole world. And when he conquered the known world and didn't have anybody worth fighting anymore, then he was depressed because he didn't have nobody else to fight. Because, you know, he had reached these goals and nothing satisfied. But let me tell you something, there's nothing in this world like Jesus Christ. There's nothing in this world like him. That God calls us. Many are called, but few are chosen. But God calls us. And what did God call us for? God didn't call us just to call us, but God called us for a purpose. So, you know, many times in our lives we wonder what that purpose is. What God called us, what's that purpose? It's to fulfill his word. God has a purpose for each one of our lives. And you know, sometimes we wonder, you know, if it's how important it is. Well, many times we look at our lives and the call that God has placed in our lives. What God placed in our lives is, does it measure up to other people's standards? You know, because we want to look at ourselves through other people's eyes. But you know, the only person that you and I should try to honor, and I don't want to use the word worry, but to have such a zeal to fulfill what God wants us to do is, you know, we sing that song, is the Lord satisfied with me? Is God satisfied with my life? Is the honor and glory the scripture tells us that he called us into this kingdom of honor and virtue. Is that the same honor that we give to God in our lives? Not just in the worship of our lips, but in our worship out of our lives. Each thing that we do in this world, because that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to be. God called us for a purpose. You know, the scripture tells us in Luke 19, when he's speaking to Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus, he says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and save those which were lost." 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, "God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." So we've been called into a fellowship with him. And if we've been called into this fellowship, then you know, God has a promises. And he calls us into blessings. And so if we've been called to these blessings, then that was what God, you know, wants us to have. And God wants us to use these things. And, you know, if he said that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and you know, the things that Christ has, then he wants us to have. And he wants us to be beneficiaries of those things and to use those things and walk in the liberty. The scripture tells us that, you know, we should walk worthy of the calling that God has given us. And you know, and sometimes, you know, the devil wants us to have a different vision of ourselves or a different view of what we should be. But you know, God has called us, and that's when we look to see what our vision should be. Our vision should be what the Word says. To look into the Word and see ourselves. See ourselves for who we are. Even if you have shortcomings, you know, the thing is there's a blessing there, because you can see where you've fallen short. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of the Lord. But the thing is, the Word gives us the opportunity that we can become right, that we can come back into fellowship with him. Because if we have a sin or something, there's a way back that we can be right before God. That anything that comes before us, there's a way. God has already made provisions for us that we can come, and that all of the issues that we have in life. You know, many times people, "Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I know what I'm going to do." Because God gave us a way. God gave us a way to call on his name and ask, you know, because he'll lead and guide us if we'll ask. He's already had the answer before we even asked for it. But he wants you to ask. The scripture said to ask that our joy might be full. So we have to ask, and God can bring these things to us. In Acts 2, very familiar scripture, in Acts 2, beginning at verse 36, and the scripture tells us when the disciples came out of the upper room, and, you know, they were staggering around like drunk people, and, you know, people was wondering what in the world was going on. But Peter stood up and told them, said, you know, "These people aren't drunk as you suppose." But he said, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." You know, many people had read the scripture, but they had never seen the manifestation of it. They had their own idea what the scripture was, but they didn't see the manifestation of it. But Peter says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And he said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. And he said unto Peter and unto the rest of the disciples, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So when God began to call man, God had a plan and a purpose for man to follow. And the scripture says when the day of Pentecost come, because that's what it was to be, the fulfilling of the scripture was the indwelling of the Spirit, was to come back upon man, to come back into fellowship, true fellowship with God. And he called and he said, you know, they asked him, what should we do? He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Very simple prescription that was given. But he said, but it was a promise. And he said, this promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And you know what? I'm glad to proclaim today that God's still calling. Yes. If he's called one, he'll call, he's continuing to call.
Right.
He said the only thing that we've got to do is we've got to meet the same criteria. We've got to come to the same basis and have the same faith that those met. He said if he ever healed one, he'll heal them again. Right. But you and I have to come on the same basis the first one came on. And he said, if you have a need this morning, then he's here to meet that need. And he said, if he's called one and he give them the gift of eternal life, then you know he's still giving that gift of eternal life today. And it's unto each one. And he said, it's to you and to your children. So you know what? As parents, we can stand up and proclaim to our children, we can claim our children. That we can claim them. Because if he done it for us, he'll do it for them. He said, to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So if he's ever called one, he'll continue to give, and he's still calling today. The question is do you and I, or those that God calls, do they answer that call? Because God is calling. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So God has called us to this, and these are the promises that God has made to us, that we can receive the divine nature, that we can bypass these things. God has given us a way to become like him. Hebrews 9 says, 14-15 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. The first Thessalonians 2:11-13 says, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So when we've heard the word, we must receive the word. And the scripture says that we become the word as we receive the word. Because through the word, receiving the word, we have received that power to become the sons of God. Because he said he came to his own and his own received him not, but as many as believed. So if we believe on the word, not that it's the words of man. You know, many people, they want to spend all their time, trying to dispute this part or this part or whatever. But you know what? If we believe what God says, if it's the word of God, then you know what? He'll bring it to pass. You put your trust in God and he'll show you what the truth is, because he'll lead you and guide you. You know, many times, Brother Ram talking about the different ones, and you know, sight and time is the biggest hindrance God has. And you know, the thing is people, you know, they want a quick fix, or they want the answer right now or whatever, but you know, you just hold on and wait for God, and God will give you the answer.
Amen.
You know, God's never late. God's always on time. You know, when Jesus come to the tomb of Lazarus, you know, Mary and Martha there, you know, and you know, they were so upset that Jesus didn't come on when they called for him. But you know, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And they were looking off in the future what was going to take place. But he was trying to tell them, right now is the time. I am the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
Now was the time. See, they didn't realize this was the time that God had given for the resurrection, for him to raise Lazarus was right then. Not sometime off in the future. It's not something off in the future. It's right now. It's today. Today's the day of salvation. Today is the day of your miracle. Today is the day of your answer. Whatever you're looking for, today is that day. So we can just look to God this morning, today. Say, Lord, whatever, what am I looking for, Lord? If you have a need, open up your heart this morning, let God speak to you.
Amen.
And he'll give you what you have desire, what your desire is this morning. We'll have the musicians come this morning. I want to read one more scripture before I finish as the musicians are coming. Romans 8:28-31 says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" That's what I want to leave you with this morning. If God's for you this morning, who can be against you?
Right.
Amen. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just so thankful, Lord, this morning, Lord, that we can come into your house and look in your scripture, Lord. Father, that you've called us with a holy calling. Lord, you brought us out of darkness and into this glorious light. Lord, that we can show forth the praises of you, Lord. And Father, we just so thankful, Lord, that, Lord, we've received sight, Lord, that we can see who we are. And Father, you've made a way back that we can look. And Lord, if there's any faults, our failures, Lord Jesus, there's a propitiation for us, Lord. Lord, that we can come to you and be made clean, Lord, that we can be right. And Father, we just pray this morning, Lord, that you help us, Lord, be what you'd have us to be. And Lord, just bless the service this morning. Bless each one, Lord. We just give you all the praise, the honor, and glory this morning for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.